Amen, man. So thankful for our band leading us and being so faithful in doing that. How many of you have ever met someone who they know a lot of people? They're normally those like outgoing people that like make a friend when they're like standing still, like they make friends in public bathrooms, like those kind of people, you know. And if you ever had, if you're like me and you don't, you're just like, I just want to stand by myself, right? If you're one of those kind of people and you're talking to those making friend in public bathroom people, have you ever had this conversation like, hey, do you know Christine? And you're like, no. Okay. Well, Christine was talking to Bill. You know Bill? No. Okay, well, Bill and Christine went to the beach with the Thomases. All right, you know the Thomases, right? Still no, bro. I don't. Those people are called name droppers. Like, raise your hand if you know a name dropper. Don't point at them. Okay, but it's not like necessarily a bad thing. It's just they know a whole bunch of people and you don't. Like, and that's just kind of the way it is. Now, some people get a little weird with it and they like try to feel important about all the people that they know and that they've met so-and-so, and they just want to remind you that you didn't because you're not cool. And that's a different thing. I've got a friend like this in ministry. He's another student pastor, and he knows everyone. And every time I sit down with this guy, we hang out, like we're buddies, this is the way our conversations go, where he's like, hey, you know the pastor of whatnot. I don't know any pastors, man. I know my pastor. His name's Kevin. I know him, all right? Outside of that, I don't know. And this whole conversation always goes like this, and I always just feel completely lost. Because like he knows all these people, and some of them maybe I've heard of or like heard their name or like, you know, they were like the speaker at something we went to or something, but I don't know them. I might know of them. I might recognize the name. I might even know a little bit about them, but like we don't hang out. Like, it's just not the same thing. I think there's a lot of people in this world who have that same type issue with Jesus. Where there's some people that maybe they bump into you and you're talking to Jesus like you know him. And they're sitting there listening to us and saying, man, like, you're acting like I should know him, but I've heard about him. I know some stuff, and there's like a cross, and you know, there's a whole thing. I know some Bible stories, like there was an ark one time and it rained a lot, and you know, it's this, I know about it. But there's others of us who know him. Like we know a friend. And I don't know which camp you're in, but you're in one of those two things. When you came in this room tonight, like you either know him personally, like you and Jesus hang out, or you're over here like, I mean, I know who he is. Accounts, right? Like, I know who he is. If you're in that second group where you're like, man, I know who he is. I know the stories. I know about the cross. I could even tell you like why he came and died. He could die for our sins because that, you know, that's the way the story goes. I know that. But I don't know if I know him. If that's where you came in the room tonight, what I want you to know is that there is a vast difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. Eternity hangs in the balance between those two things, because knowing some facts, knowing about Jesus, is not the same as loving him and trusting him and following with your life. And knowing him and trusting him and following with your life is what saves you, not knowing some facts. I want you to walk out of here tonight aware of which of those two groups you fall into, whether you know him or you know about him. And if you know about him right now, I want you to think carefully and critically about whether you want to stay where you are, or if you actually want to meet him, if you want to know him. Our passage is going to be in John chapter 19 this evening. If you want to get your Bibles and go to John chapter 19, it's not going to be on the screen for you because I didn't have time for that. But John chapter 19 is where we're going to be. So there's windowsills, you know, apps, whatever, I don't care. So John chapter 19 is where we're going to be. And this is a really interesting passage. Because John chapter 19 is the last extended time of prayer where we see Jesus in praying to the Father, the last time that he's got this extended time of prayer, really before he goes to the cross. So he knows what's coming at this point. Jesus knows that the end has come, that his time has come, that he's going to die. And he's welcoming that. He's intentionally and willingly giving himself up The authorities are going to come. He's going to be arrested. He's not going to fight back. He's not going to defend himself, because the whole reason Jesus came was to die. And so now it's time to die. He's like, okay, this is the reason I came. Let's go. Because the reason he came was to die for you and to die for me, to die for all of us. That was the whole point. And so where he is standing before, like at this point, when he's going to pray these words, he's knowing, I'm going to the cross, that the time has come. This is it. This is the whole purpose I've come. Let's do this. Before it's time to go to the cross, before he gives his life for you and for me, he prays, and he prays these words. He begins in verse 1, it says this, it says, when Jesus has spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said this, he said, Father, the hour's come. It's time, right? He said, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you've given him authority over all flesh, it's all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Like the whole chapter continues on. It's this one long prayer. It's in like these three sections. You should read it for yourself. But right at the beginning, he starts off, and he's praying about himself. He's saying, like, the time has come for me, and then God, lift me up so I can lift you up. And he says this, he says, since you've given, Jesus, like he's saying, God, since the Father, since you've given me all authority to give eternal life, then do something. So think about this, think about this. What Jesus is saying right here is he alone has the authority to give eternal life. So before we say anything else, like, I want you to hear this. Nothing else in your life has the authority to give eternal life. Your good behavior, look at me, your good behavior, your effort, your awesomeness does not have the authority to give you eternal life. It doesn't. No matter how good of a person you are, no matter how, you know, how many boxes you check and how many old ladies you help across the street, you do not have the authority to give yourself eternal life. You don't. Jesus does. And he alone does, which means you can't do nothing about it. You can't earn it. You can't figure it out for yourself. It's not going to happen, because he alone has his authority to give eternal life. And then he makes this statement. He gives this definition in verse 3. And in verse 3, he gives this definition of what eternal life is. But before we look at that again, like, if I were to sit and just ask you, like, hey, tell me what eternal life is, you'd be like, well, it's heaven. Heaven, right? Like, this is the easy answer. Like, Jesus, right? Like, you know, this is like Sunday school answer kind of stuff. What's eternal life? It's heaven. Okay, what does that mean? I think you like float on clouds or something. I don't really know, right? You don't know? I mean, you just don't, right? And so there's this like eternal promise that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And you're like, I'm not entirely sure what that means, but I'm supposed to be really excited about it, right? I think our definition of eternal life needs to be a little bit more solid than maybe what it is in some of our mind. I know for me, when I had this kind of weird, kind of weak view of eternity, it wasn't something I wanted to work towards. It wasn't something I wanted to strive towards. But I love this definition that Jesus gives, because I can sink my teeth into this one. I can do something about this. Look at how he defines eternal life. To hang in there with me. You look all like chatty and stuff, all right? Hang in there with me. This is how he defines what eternal life is. It says this in verse 3. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. This is eternal life, that they know God and his son Jesus. Like, you just know God. He didn't say heaven, did he? So what is it about eternity, eternal life, that can be summed up by knowing God? This doesn't mean, like what we're talking about at the beginning, this doesn't mean knowing about him. This doesn't mean like how you like you know who Abraham Lincoln is, okay? That's a historical figure. He had a beard, I think. Had like a weird hat and got shot. Like, yeah, you know Abraham Lincoln. No, this is not what it means. It doesn't mean you know the story of Jesus. It doesn't mean you know him like Abe, okay? This isn't like you know Mark Zuckerberg. There was a movie, he made Facebook and he like owns everything or something and like knows your social security number. Like that's not, you don't know him. You know about him. So like this says know him. This is eternal life, that you know him. Knowing in this sense, what this means, it means knowing fully and being fully known by. Like there being no more questions about who he is. You like fully knowing the infinite God. Is it who do you know? Who do you know best? Like think in your head, like who do you know best? Of all the people on the planet. Like look at the person next to you and tell the person next to you who you know best on the whole planet. It's not your dog. That's not what I said. Person.
My cat's awesome.
All right, did you tell him? Good. All right. So this is the kind of person I want you to think about. I want you to think about the person like you know how they will react when like I know what he's gonna do when he hears that. I know exactly what he's gonna say. Or the kind of person where you know, look at me, the person where you know exactly what they will think is funny. Like you're like. They're not going to think that's funny. They're going to pee their pants a little bit if I show them this. That person, you know, where you know them. The person, listen to, like, do you have somebody where you can tell how they're feeling, like how what kind of mood they're in by the way they walk? You got people that you know that well? Yeah. So for me, the person I know best in the entire world is Jessica. I've been very interested in Jessica longer than all of you have been alive, all right? Been studying her. I haven't figured her out yet, but I've been studying her for like 18 years, man. Like, this is a long time, all right? Like, I know her better than I know anyone else. I know what kind of mood she's in by the way she walks. I know what she's going to think is funny. Her sense of humor's like, silly. It's funny. Anyway, like, I know... what her priorities are. I know what her priorities are not. I know the times when she's faking that she's into the thing that I'm in because she just wants to be sweet about it and make me feel special about myself, right? Like, I know her, but I still don't fully know her. Like, I'm still surprised by her all the time. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know what is going on right now, right? Like, I don't fully know her. I don't know every detail about her. I'm still trying to figure out. I want to know her more. That's why there's still an, like, it's still interesting, right? I still don't fully know everything about Jessica. So the person you just thought about, you don't fully know them. You know a lot about them, but you don't fully know them. You don't. There's never going to be anybody on this planet that you fully and completely know. Who knows you best? Who knows you best? Who knows all those things about you? Do they fully know you? Do they know everything? Like do they know the worst of you? The absolute worst of you. Not like the worst thing you did, like the worst thing you think. Nah. Do they know like the days that you just want to close off and just don't let anybody in? Do they know all of the reasons why you just want to shut down sometimes? Like, no. They don't know all the hard parts. They don't know all the good parts. They don't completely understand the way that the reason that things that you find valuable. They don't understand and know why there's some things that probably should be valuable to you, but they just aren't. Like why you don't care about some stuff. They don't know all that stuff. That you're not fully known by anybody either. You don't fully know anyone, and you're not fully known by anyone. And then you get to John 19:3, and he says, "This eternal life, you're going to fully know the infinite God of the universe." He already fully knows you, by the way, but like you're gonna know him. Like you're gonna be in his presence, like you're gonna know him. A minute ago, one of you walked up to me and said, "You know, it's gonna be nice in heaven. I'm just gonna like ask God, like, why do girls think the way they do? You know, I'm like, yeah, dude, like okay, so, like that's valid. And so like eternity is knowing him. On this side of heaven, you don't know God perfectly. You don't know everything about him. Like you can't really even get a grasp on it. You know it imperfectly. Like you can't know it. Like those of us in the room who are Christians, we know him, but we don't fully know him. We only know a part of him. Like think about this. This is crazy to me. that the how much you know of God is a shadow of what you're going to know in eternity. A shadow. That's what 1 Corinthians 13:12 says. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see him face to face. He says, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even if I've been full, as I've been fully known. So right now, those of you in the room who are Christians, think about the moment that you felt closest to God. Like when you felt like, man, I almost feel like I could like reach out and like hug him or something. Like it just felt like he was right there. Like I knew he was in the room with us and we're worshiping together. And it was like he was there. Maybe it was that time you're spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer on your own. And it just felt like he was actually like tangibly there. Like you could just like almost speak out audibly and expect him to say something. Like those incredibly close moments. That's a shadow of what's to come. Like right now, you have a shadow of knowledge of God. But in eternity, like knowing him fully, like 1 Corinthians 13, talking about that, then it's going to be face to face. I don't know what it's going to be like to sit face to face with the Father, but for those of us in the room who are Christians, who Jesus has given us eternal life, like we've trusted Christ with our life, we're going to have eternity in the presence of God, and we're going to know him face to face. It's not a shadow anymore. And the crazy thing to me is this, that even that shadow blows my mind. Even the shadow of knowledge of him that I have, like the shadow of familiarity I have with God, is enough that it's radically and completely changed every aspect of my life. Galatians 4 captures this, 4, 8, 9, it says, formerly, when you didn't know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature aren't God, all this fake stuff. You were chasing around a bunch of silly nothingness, all right? But now that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how could you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world? Like, it's saying this, like, having come to know him, even like the limited amount that you're going to get to know God this side of earth, having come to know him, it makes everything else in this life look kind of meaningless. Like compared to him, like the fullness of getting to know him this side of heaven is still enough to radically and completely change your life, and it doesn't scratch the surface. Jesus says eternity is going to be you sitting face to face with God, fully knowing it. No more shadow, but even though the shadow's enough to like blow your world up, but knowing it face to face. Someone asked me this week whether someone could lose their salvation. They said, "Look, all right, so I'm wondering about some stuff. I've been reading the passages we're doing, like all right, and this, so look, if somebody claimed that they were a Christian, okay, and they claimed that they knew him." But then maybe it got hard, maybe they went through some stuff, maybe they just got bored, and they just quit. What does that mean for their salvation? Do they lose it? Like, if you claim that you're a Christian, then you just kind of bail, are they in or out? I guess was kind of the way the question was phrased. That's an interesting question, right? And that's one that maybe comes up in your head sometimes. Can somebody who said they're a Christian, and maybe you've known some people like this, maybe there's been some people that sat next to you in this room who aren't here anymore, and they don't give a rip anymore, right? So if you claim that you know him, but then you walk away like you didn't, how's that work? You in or you out? Were they in to begin with, and they're out now because they walked away? This is interesting, this whole thing with John 19:3 comes to bear here, because listen, like if you know Jesus, like you know a friend, not like you know Abraham Lincoln, but like you know Jesus, like you know a friend, then what Galatians 4 is saying is that it's powerful enough, like it's going to change everything about you, that the old inside of you is gone and God gives you a new heart. He removes your heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, like you're a new creation. Like you went from like weird worm thing to like a butterfly, like you're different now, okay? And having done that, listen, having gone through that kind of transition, going from old to new, having gone from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, having like made that leap, when you came to know it, like how would you go back? That's what Galatians 4 is saying. It's like, how in the world, once you've come to know him, how in the world would anybody go back to this worthless and meaningless life? And the answer is you don't. You don't. When you know Jesus, when you've come to meet Jesus in this radical and transformative way where he's changed everything about you, he's made you new, he's set you free from sin, you know him, you don't go back. You can't. Like, it doesn't compute. But if you knew some facts, if you could tell a story, maybe you could recite some stuff that maybe somebody, you know, wants you to do, or maybe you like prayed some prayer and you just walked some aisle one day. Yeah, you can bail on that. If you know Jesus like you knew Abraham Lincoln, you can bail on that. If you know Jesus like you knew a friend, you don't. Because it changes everything about you. And so the question, like, can someone lose their salvation? If they claim that they know Jesus and then they bail, what does that mean? What that means is they didn't know Jesus. They knew about Jesus. Do you know Jesus or do you know about Jesus? Do you know him or do you know about him? Eternity hangs in the balance. Knowing about him will not cut it. That's not eternal life. That's not what Jesus says. Like, eternal life is not knowing about Jesus. It's knowing him. Do you know him? This past mission trip that we just had with the high school students, man, I had numerous conversations with teenagers that would come and ask me the same questions. Oh, like, I had like six or seven conversations. It was kind of weird for us. Like, I don't get this conversation a lot. But I just had almost like every night that we were there, I had one or two students want to sit down and say, listen, how do I know for sure that I'm saved? How do I know for sure that I know him and I don't just know about him? How do I know for sure? The stories were usually the same. So if you kind of grew up in church and you've kind of always been around, a lot of us haven't. That's not my story. But like, if you grew up in church and maybe you made a profession of faith when you were like 8 years old and like, yeah, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm eight. Haven't like murdered anybody because I'm eight. So I like there's not a lot of sin. And like, but you know, whatever, like, you know, cool. But I'm going to follow Jesus, right? And you get to be 16 years old. And all of a sudden you look back and you're like thinking about the way that you're coming to know Jesus and the depth of who he is and the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're like getting to like this, just like drowning in his grace. And you look back on 8-year-old you who wasn't drowning in grace, who didn't know the depths of Jesus that you know right now. And you look back on 8-year-old you and you're like, that little bit of knowledge I had back then, could that have possibly counted? What do you think? Could that have counted? Or because like if you when you compare, if you're growing in Christ and like you look back 8, 10, 20 years earlier at where you were, that level of knowing him just looks so small. And what I said to those teenagers over and over again is, listen, if you knew him when you were 8 and you were trying to follow him when you were 8, okay, great. If you knew about him when you were 8 and you were just kind of reciting some facts and you've been faking it and had a name tag that said Christian, even though you didn't know him this whole time, that's another deal entirely. So listen, if you're in the room and you kind of said some words and stuff that didn't have any meaning to you whatsoever and it has had no impact on your life and you just kind of say, yeah, I know about Jesus, so I guess I'm a Christian, that's not what being a Christian is. But if you're 8 years old or 6 years old or something and you gave everything that you knew how to give to Jesus and, yeah, you knew like this much. Well, you're this big, right? And so, like, that's all you got. Then hopefully, if you're 15 years old sitting in here and you're thinking back on how well you knew Jesus when you were 8, I hope it does look small. The problem is when you know him exactly the same. If you're still walking with Jesus the same way you were when you're 8, which is not walking with Jesus, there's a problem. But if you're growing in a depth of your relationship with him, good. How long have you been friends with your best friend? Who's had a best friend for more than 10 years? Do you know them better than you did the first day you like walked up on the playground? You're like, you want to play? Also, apparently that's what kids sound like. I don't know, man, right? You want to play? And they're like, okay. And they're like, you want to be best friends? Uh-huh. Okay. And they're like, you go play. And you're like, we're best friends. You don't know that kid's name, dude. You just like saw a human being and named it best friend, okay? But now, like 10 years down the road, you know like what kind of chapstick that person likes. That's gross. But you know it. Does the fact that you know what kind of chapstick they like now negate your friendship 8 years ago? No. This means you're growing deeper. That's the way relationships work. The fact that I know I love Jessica more now and I know her more deeply now than I did when we got married 11, 12, I don't know how many years it was. It's 2006, whatever math works, I don't know. Just whatever, it's too confusing, right? I'm not smart enough to like think and do math. Anyway, like the fact that I know her better now doesn't negate the fact that we got married, all right? Like that, it's just, it's deeper now. So listen, if you're 8 years old and you gave all that you had to Jesus and you've been trying to follow him and you know him better now that you did, and the way that you know him or walking with him now dwarfs the way it was when you were eight, good. If you knew about Jesus like you knew about Abraham Lincoln when you were eight and you just said some stuff and walked around some aisles and somebody dunked you in some water and you've just kind of been like, well, I guess I'm a Christian because I did some stuff. Jesus doesn't mean a hill of beans to me, but cool. Like, that's not going to save you. Because eternal life, this is eternal life. Knowing God. Do you know him? Or do you know about him? Do you know him or do you know about him? This is a terrifying thing for some of us who've been walking around for 10, 15 years and saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. And then you come to this and you're like, bro, that whole bit about knowing him, that doesn't sound like me. And there's this fear that wells up and you're like, what if somebody finds out? What if somebody finds out that I don't think I'm a Christian, that like what I did when I was eight didn't matter? What's my mama gonna say? That doesn't matter for eternity. That fear, that voice in your head and saying, man, people are gonna like think bad of me. Like I'm in like a student ministry. I'm like playing the band. Like I can't be like, I think I need to like trust Jesus now. Like, I've just known about him before. I can't tell people that. They'd laugh at me. No, they won't, because all of us that are Christians in the room, we want you to get to experience eternity in heaven with your Savior. Like we want you to know him. That voice in your head's a liar. Do you know him or do you know about him? Do you know him or do you know about him? Our band's gonna come. And they're going to lead us in a time of response. And they're going to play a song for us. But them playing is not the point right now, okay? Where you are in these two things, these two camps, is the point. So if you would, if you just bow your head and close your eyes right where you're at, just for a second, I just want you to think. Jesus prayed this. He said, this is eternal life, that they know you. So do you know him? By that definition, do you have eternal life? Do you know him personally? A lot of you in the room do. And if so, and you want to know him more, then right now what I want you to do, if you know him already and you want to know him more, then tell him that. Say, Jesus, I want to know more of you. In 10 years when I look back on today, like I want to know you infinitely better than I do right now. Tell him that. And commit to putting in the work to see that happen. To spend time in the Word, to spend time memorizing Scripture, spend time in prayer. Like, if you know him, commit to doing the work to know him more. But if you're sitting there right now and you know that you just know about him, I mean, you're excited about him, like, that's great, but like, you just know about him, you just know the facts. It's not like a friendship that's deepening. You just know about him. If you know about Jesus like you know about a historical figure, but you don't personally know him, here's what I want you to hear tonight. Right now, right here, you can go from knowing about him to knowing him. Right there where you sit. You can make the transition from knowing about him to knowing him right there where you sit on June 27th, 2018 with nobody looking around. You can do this. There's no magic formula, there's no weird dance or something. It's just switching from knowing about him to knowing him. So let me ask you some questions. Do you believe that Jesus lived? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that Jesus died for you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that it actually happened, that Jesus died for you to pay the price for your sin? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he rose from the grave? that he defeated death for you. Do you want to know him? Do you want to follow him? And if all the answers to those questions were yes, then tell him. Right there where you sit, just tell him. Just take the step from knowing about him to knowing him. Go from like Abraham Lincoln in him to like talking to him. Tell him. Tell him what you believe. Tell him that you want to know him. Tell him that you don't want to claim it anymore. You want to know him. Tell him that you need a Savior. Tell him that you need a Savior and ask him to save you. Commit to following him. Commit to walk with him like you walk with a friend. Our band's going to lead us. But before they do, this is what I want you to know. Just keep your head down. Keep your eyes closed. I'm going to be in the back. Some of our leaders are going to be in the back. And if you're sitting there and you're dealing with Jesus and you're telling Jesus that you want to go from knowing about him to knowing him, that you want him to save you, I mean, we would love to help you do that. We'd love to help you like celebrate that or answer questions about that. Like, we tell somebody. So if God, if like if that's you, man, you're wanting to do that right here, right now, tonight. You just thought you were gonna get ice cream tonight, and all of a sudden you're trying to like figure out how to follow Jesus. Like, we're here. Come tell us. Don't keep that to yourself. Come tell us. If you still aren't sure whether you really know him or not, come talk. Come find me. Come find one of the leaders and say, I just need to know for sure, man. Like, I just want to know for sure. We'll help you try to sort it out. Whatever's going on with you, we're going to be back there for you. You can come talk. Our band's going to leave. When you're ready, you can stand with them or you can come find me or another leader. Let me pray for us. God, I'm thankful that we can know you. But for those of us in the room who do know you and just who aren't growing and knowing you more, God, I pray that you would give us the boldness and the tenacity to chase after you. But I want to pray more specifically for those in the room who just know about you, who just know some stories, who don't know you personally. It's not like a friend. God, I pray that you would draw them to yourself, that they would take a step forward, that they would grasp eternal life by coming to a point to know you and trust you with their life. Give them the courage to stand up as our band lead, walk to the back, find a leader and say, hey, can we talk? God, pour boldness, pour courage, pour faith over us.